Good morning. How's everyone this morning? Yeah. Come now, let us reason together this morning. As we open up the word of the Lord, we're going to be continuing to invite the rain of God's presence to be here in this place. We are in a season of harvest, and we want to continue to be faithful to how God would call us to honor him during this season. Last Sunday, we were blessed to have Scott Zier and his family here. They're visiting us here from India. We've received many tremendous testimonies of salvation, been delivered here. Divine words of the Lord have followed our times of corporate worship. We've heard words of divine healing, people who were struggling with some kind of illness or physical thing going on, and God healed them. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we want to continue to remember that. Also, we want to remember our team who's currently in Ethiopia. We have Pastor Sean and Pastor Rowena and four others of our church members are there right now at Project Hope serving. And I would encourage you, if you're on Facebook, to go ahead and check out the Cornerstone Assembly of God Facebook page. You'll see pictures on there and video of our team that's over there. Now, if you're here and you don't know what that is, let me help define that for you. Cornerstone is partnered with a church in Ginda Tesfa, Ethiopia, to provide much-needed medical help to a community where few people have ever heard the gospel before. And these people really don't have much in the way of finances to be able to pay for medical help. So we've partnered with a church there, Living Hope Word International Church, to be able to offer free medical care there. So we actually have a free medical clinic where we're treating patients. And so we want to remember to pray for each of our team members this week who are ministering in the community there. If you're a visitor here this morning, I want to welcome you here to Cornerstone. Pray this message would touch your heart and encourage your spirit. I don't usually wear t-shirts when I preach. That's kind of a different thing this morning. But this is Kids Sunday here at Cornerstone, so we're glad that you've joined us. And we just trust that this word would just speak to your heart as well. Let's open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 19. Now, this morning you received a ministry guide like this. We don't have listed in the ministry guide what our reading is this week, so it's going to be chapters 19 through 24. We're going to start in chapter 19 this morning. I'm going to work to provide a context for how to read this. Now, I have to be honest here. When I began looking at these passages, I was like, how am I going to preach from this? Because, you know, if you open up to the book of Isaiah and you go to chapter 19, you start looking at it, and you see the title is a prophecy about Egypt. I was like, okay. But then it starts, if you flip through the chapter, you see prophecy against Egypt and Cush, prophecy against Babylon, and it's not very encouraging. So you're like, well, you know, surely if I flip to the end here, you know, chapter 24, you can find something really encouraging. So you get over there, and you see the title. I don't know about your Bible, it says, my Bible says the Lord's devastation of the earth. Now, how am I going to preach from this? And so if you're like me, you know, you're going to flip through here and see, okay, there's got to be an encouraging word in here somewhere. Well, when we read a passage like this, we have to look at Scripture from all of Scripture, not just one passage. And what do we need to know as we read these chapters this week? That God's hope of salvation and restoration can be found in every passage of Scripture. Christ's Scripture always points us towards Christ. We've got to remember that this morning. So let us reason together. He alone is the great I am. Amen? Amen? So that is what we're talking about today, knowing the great I am as fulfilled in Scripture. The kids in VBS this week learned John 14:6 said, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I didn't know that that's what they were going to be learning about when I started preparing to preach this morning. I didn't know they were going to be learning about the great I am as revealed as the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning, the Lord just happens to have us knowing about learning and growing and knowing the great I am. And so I believe God's word is here, and Jesus Christ, his revelation can be found in every passage of Scripture. So keep that in mind as we read the Scriptures and study them this week. Now, our God's not dead. He's surely alive. Amen? So let's come now and let us reason together before the great I am. What are some pillars we can hold on to as we reason together? Let's consider four thoughts this morning. Knowing the great I am is revealed by, number one, his justice, revealed through his righteousness. See, if you don't know the character of God Almighty, you can be very troubled, as you read through here, with the judgments that fall on these nations of Egypt and Cush and Babylon, Eden and Arabia. Number two, we discover the great I am by his holiness, to show mercy and grace to persons who turn to him in everyday life. See, for the Lord Almighty, his righteousness was bigger than just judging right from wrong. He cared for the needs of the oppressed, and he cares for each one of us. His mercy and grace calls for the reconciliation of a perfect relationship with the Father. In the Christian faith, we call this a lifestyle of repentance that only Jesus can help us live. So we're going to talk about that. Number three, his presence, including you and I in his mission. See, we don't serve a God who's left us out to dry, who's absent, who's no longer in this world. We serve a God who gives us great joy in the midst of sufferings and trials, knowing that our treasures are found not in this world, but in the world to come. And that leads to our last point. We discover who God is in knowing the great I am by his healing to offer salvation to all nations. See, the greatest form of healing we can ever experience is having a restored relationship with our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a holy God, and his presence cannot coexist in the midst of great evil, because he includes you in his mission to lead others into a relationship of knowing Jesus Christ. We call that leading wisely here at Cornerstone. Church, are you ready to know and grow in knowing the great I am? Because this morning, God wants to work that in us. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, you truly want to reveal yourself to us, and we come from all kinds of different stages and walks of life. Lord, some of us have served you for many years and just know you in all of your faithfulness. Lord, I just thank you for each believer who's here. Father, some come to you as persons who maybe once walked with you and have had some distance between you and them over this season. I pray that you would draw them back to you today, turn their hearts towards you. And Lord, there are some who are walking with you, but just maybe they just kind of don't feel fresh right now and don't feel like they're experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd work in them this morning to know that your promises are new every day. And Father, Lord, would you speak to each of us about what it means to lead others to Christ? Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, be here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what do we do with this passage? Well, let's start in Isaiah 19. During Isaiah's time, Egypt was well known throughout all the world as a formidable strong power. But Egypt's great knowledge would not save her from destruction. Egypt would be quickly diminished because of her idolatry, and judgment would follow. Egypt would not yield itself to the Lord, so it faced God's judgment. Verse 5, take a look at it. So this great judgment is happening, and here's the key to that judgment. The waters of the river will dry up, and the riverbed will be parched and dry. See, a great drought would come and dry up the rivers, and not even Egypt would know what to do. Egypt's lifeline on food supplies and transportation would quickly deteriorate. Famine would strike the land in such a way that Pharaoh and his advisors would have no answers. God would not idly sit by and watch his people be punished and destroyed. He was compelled to act on behalf of his people. So the great judge used nature to show that he and his people who served the Almighty Creator would not be mocked. He's the Almighty God who is fully righteous and holy. Knowing God better in these passages begins by knowing that he is a God of justice. The great I am, he's a just God. Let's look at the difference between knowing a just God and God's judgment. The great I am is a God of justice, revealed through his righteousness. He's a just God who sees all of his creation with no bias. His character reveals his righteousness. He's the chief judge, the final word, the one who's unchangeable, unshakable, and transcends all of recorded human history. The great I am defines the difference between right and wrong in the world. A just God also cares for those who are oppressed and hurting. He cares enough that he sent his one and only son to die for us. The great I am defines the difference between right and wrong in this world. God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. God's justice will guide his hand in judging right from wrong. Now, if God was impartial to the wrongs of this world, He would not be worthy to be admired, and he would certainly not be just. But this flies in the face of popular cultural trends today. Today's world says anything goes. The reason he is worthy to be praised is because he will judge right from wrong in this world with his perfect timing. When God moves, we have the choice to reject him and reap judgment, or turn to him and receive his blessing of justice. Justice that is pure, righteous, and holy. Consider Isaiah chapter 1. In the season of rain, this verse was revealed to us from chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. If you weren't here, I'll read it for you. It said, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God has truly revealed his justice on the earth." Judgment is what happens when our hearts are turned away from the Father. Sometimes judgment is easier to see than in other circumstances. The law of sowing and reaping is certainly pertinent here. You reap what you sow. So let me give you an example. I had a friend growing up who was exceedingly obese. And when I say he was exceedingly obese, I mean he was three times my size. Now, you can only imagine what that might look like. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm not exaggerating. My friends and I would constantly say, "Hey, you need to work on this." But today his health is very poor. He's tried to lose the weight many times, but the consequences of those eating habits have caught up with him. And he's experienced so much damage to his health now. He's my age, so doctors can't really do much for him anymore. Unless God intervenes supernaturally, he may live a short life. Our body truly is the temple of the Lord, isn't it? But it's revealed in some other ways too, in not so obvious ways. A lot of times, we can be blind to our own judgment because we've chosen not to be yielded to the Father. So relationally, I've seen many Christians walk in judgment because they held on to bitterness. Bitterness has a way of destroying us physically from the inside out because of the pain and torture it causes us emotionally. We become so filled with bitterness that we're bitter towards persons trying to help us see our own bitterness. Have you ever met anyone like this? So we need to be careful how we let these things creep in our hearts. So you're here, and maybe you're saying, "Pastor Jason, these things are great, but how does God's justice get activated in my life? I feel like I've experienced so much injustice." Well, number one, it starts by acknowledging him. We serve a God who is a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself on you. That is part of his justice. What sins do you need to acknowledge before the Lord this morning? Until you're willing to acknowledge your sin and your impurity to the Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't have full access to your life. Sin closes the door to God's justice working in you. The Lord will not force himself on you, and he wants to administer his justice and righteousness. Just remember, when you do not yield yourself to the Father, you will reap judgment. God doesn't need a Supreme Court. His word is final, because this word never changes. His ways are just, all his ways are perfect, and there is no injustice in him. So here's your first action step this morning. What sins do you need to offer to the Lord? What is it that you've got to offer to the Lord? I can tell you that if you will take the time to listen to him, he will reveal these things to you. God's perfect love for us is found in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and I. We have all fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fortunately, the price for your sins has already been paid for. And that's going to lead us to our next point this morning. Knowing the great I am as revealed in Scripture, especially in these passages, is revealed by his, number two, his holiness, to show mercy and grace to persons who turn to him in everyday life. See, God's righteousness reveals his holiness. God in his infinite grace and his mercy saves you from eternal judgment when we turn to him daily in everyday life. So this is known as repentance. Now I'm going to spell this out for you as much as I possibly can. Let's start with this kind of a defining scripture. And Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, he said this. He says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. let's consider the difference between grace and mercy. Okay, so grace is defined as God's unmerited favor. Grace is an integral part of his character. He pursues us to restore relationship with us. But his grace is only available through the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform us. We must daily turn our hearts towards Christ to receive his grace. So while grace is about receiving unmerited favor that you don't deserve, mercy is about not being punished for the mistakes you've made. If God was not merciful, he would not withhold his punishment to us. So then, we say that God's mercy withholds punishment we deserve for our sins, while God's grace delivers unmerited favor to us. Key points. This is the hope we hold on to in Christ. God's mercy and grace saves us from sin and leads us to a life of knowing the great I am. A just God must be understood in light of the promise of hope for those who turn to him daily in surrender and obedience. God's righteousness is revealed through his mercy and grace. Now, as a dad, it's important for me to show mercy towards my daughter. How many of you can relate to me in this? Let's see how many hands I get here. How many of you can relate to me when you say your kids have trouble remembering to turn the lights off in your home? Anybody ever had that happen before? Yeah. I'm sure I did it many times. Has that happened? Well, you know, in these moments, I can scream and I can yell at Isabella, or I can show God's mercy towards her. Because in the grand scheme of things, it's not really that big of a deal, is it? You know, because one day she's going to have to pay the electric bill, and she'll figure out, oh, maybe I should turn the lights off. I have to be careful not to major in the minors. Ephesians 6:4 teaches us, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. See, I've got to help my daughter know the training and instruction of the Lord. That's what's the most important. That is what God has led me to do. So if you go to Isaiah chapter 24, we're going to look at this point illustrated a little bit. Now, Isaiah 24 talks about the great tribulation that's still yet to come. We know that is something in the end times. And we're not going to talk about the great tribulation this morning, but we are going to take a look at how people are responding to the Lord in these moments. There's a few people, a very small remnant, who turn to the Lord. And in verse 14 through 16, we can see these people. Verse 14, they raise their voices. They shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing glory to the righteous one. So instead of complaining to God, this small godly remnant worship the Lord as the righteous one. God's mercy and grace is available to those who turn to him every day in worship. Now, I'm not talking about attending church here. Because you know what? I'm glad that you're here this morning, but that's not what this is about. We're talking about turning to Christ in the most difficult circumstances. But we're talking about what you do each day. It's a daily choice. Because if the only time we worship Christ is on Sunday mornings, there's a good chance our faith might just be a ritual thing, doing what we do on Sundays, but never truly depending on him. Christ is merciful towards us because of his unfailing love. Christ's way of life will always be more fulfilling and more rewarding than depending on plotting our own way through life. His righteousness is activated in our lives daily through repentance. We're talking about a lifestyle repentance, not ritual. Repentance literally means to turn around and go in an opposite direction. When did you make that choice? Repentance is more than just being sorry for our mistakes. It includes turning your life over to God. Confessing our sins before God and committing our lives to follow Jesus is how we invite the Holy Spirit to come in. As the old saying goes, if you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results. Is there a new step of repentance God is calling you to this morning? See, if you've messed up many times, today can be your turning point. You don't have to walk in sin, and you don't have to walk in judgment. You can walk in his repentance. So this morning, my second challenge to you is this. Is your life turned to Christ in repentance or in ritual? Let me give you another thought as you consider this question. Okay, the other day I was on Facebook, and my brother posted a very funny comment. And it said this, Facebook is like a fridge. You know there's nothing new inside, but you check it out every 10 minutes. Now, if you're not a Facebook user, maybe you can relate to this a different way. It's like you have 100 channels on your television, and you turn it on, and you know there's really nothing to watch on TV, but you turn it on anyway because you just keep hoping that there's something new on TV to watch. Well, I've got good news for you. Being a believer, when you keep turning to Christ with a repentant heart, there's always something new. There's always something new that Christ wants to reveal to your heart. Because he brings times of refreshing each day. He's new. And that's part of the character of who God is. You don't have to live in Christ in ritual. You can live in repentance where his mercies are new every day, new every morning. This brings us to our next point. We grow in knowing the great I Am by, number three, his presence to include you and I in his mission. See, once you've turned your life over to Christ, his presence, the Holy Spirit, lives in your life every day. Have you considered the question, what on earth are you here for? You are here to partner with Christ on this mission. Teenagers, adults, young adults, seniors, you're here to partner with Christ on this mission. What on earth are you here for? God has a plan to fill you with his presence every day so you can partner with him on his mission. Each day, I'm called to share God's presence with my daughter. Each day, my wife and I, we finish the day by sharing scripture with her and praying with her. And over a year ago, we began reading in the book of Genesis. And so we've been going through these books, but recently I just really felt like we needed to go a different direction with her. What we've discovered is that while sharing a prayer moment with her is great, and reading scripture with her is important, I've got to, as a parent, begin to show her how to turn towards Christ daily, to reveal God's presence to her. She's got to turn to him. Bible stories are great, but if all that she ever gets, then she'll miss the great writings in Paul, in the New Testament. Paul gives instruction to believers about God's grace. She needs that. I'm responsible for modeling God's grace to my daughter through God's presence, sharing God's presence with her. Now, this is not something I can just leave for the church to do. I'm the greatest role model that my daughter will ever see. You know, if I'm not revealing God to her, it's going to be a lot harder for her to see who God really is. Amen? How many of you guys know that? God's presence has to lead me each day in my relationship with my wife and my daughter. Now, I may not be perfect, but that's okay because God's grace is perfect. Amen? He's the one who's leading us. This past week during VBS, our kids learned about knowing the great I Am. As revealed as the way, the truth, and the life. See, Activate Kids is all about knowing the great I Am as revealed by exploring all that God has for them. But I'm challenging you this morning to explore all that God has for you. God wants you to use you on this earth. He wants you to partner with his mission. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very popular verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. God wants your plans to be part of his mission. Have you submitted your plans, your hopes, and your dreams to the Lord? Have you? Maybe you did many years ago, but are your current plans and your dreams submitted to the Lord? See, if you're not really living for God, you're really not living. Any plan you can come up with is no comparison to God's plan for your life. God's plan wasn't just to save you and I from our sins. His plan was to send you on a mission. Are you discovering your God-given mission? It's not just the pastor's job to do the work of the ministry. It's all of our jobs. And we're called to be partners with him in this. Do you know what on earth you were created to do? Don't be deceived. For every vision God gives, you need to know the enemy also has a competing vision for your life. This has to do with where your heart is and where you're storing your life's treasures. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." I'm sorry, I just said that really wrong. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is Matthew 6:19. See, we have a choice to store treasures in this temporary life or for eternal life. Now, earthly treasures, there are many things. You know, the material possessions, it's about the money, it's living for the here and now. But you know what? We've got to be really careful because any of us can be influenced by those things. We sure like to learn about these things, don't we? Now, maybe we're not really strongly influenced by it, but we kind of like to know what's going on. When God's presence lives in us, his Holy Spirit motivates us to not focus on earthly treasures, but instead put our focus on God's treasures. We are called to be hungry for his thing, for his work. Let's fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now, let me just make this really simple here. If you're hearing this, I'm like, I'm not following you, Pastor Jason. Well, consider the difference between an apple and a donut. All right, so a donut tastes really good, doesn't it? Brings instant gratification. But it all does almost nothing good to our bodies. On the other hand, an apple may not taste like anything special, but its nutritional value surpasses anything we can physically taste in our mouth or see with our eyes. The same is true when we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. The treasures of this world are dazzling and easily seen, but they are short-lived, while God's eternal treasures are stored up in heaven and are unseen. This mission God sends us on, he commissioned all of us to pursue, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Here's your next action step this morning. What are you most hungry for in life? Since Christ is here this morning, how would he compare your earthly treasures to compared to your treasures that you're storing in heaven? A healthy believer is a growing believer. And if you're not hungry for the Lord, you're sick. Something's wrong. God wants to restore that spiritual hunger to you this morning, that you would long for him and his treasures. God wants to restore that spiritual hunger this morning through knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. It begins by acknowledging your lack of hunger before God and his body of believers. God's healing grace always is administered in the healing community. In Isaiah 20, verse 2, we see Isaiah being used by the Lord. But he was going to go through a very difficult moment. In verse 2, it says, Isaiah wrote, "At that time the Lord spoke through Isaiah, son of Amos. He said to him, 'Take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet.' And he did so, going around stripped and barefoot." Now, the literal translation there is God instructs Isaiah to walk around naked to warn the people of the coming judgment against Egypt and Cush. Now, I'm pretty sure that Isaiah probably received a lot of ridicule for this. But sometimes living in God's presence means we will suffer for standing with Christ. But we count it all joy when we know him. In this world, not all things will be resolved. But know that there exists injustice in this world because perfection has not yet been fully revealed. There are Christians who suffer every day for proclaiming Christ as Savior. But be encouraged, God's perfect justice and healing will be fully revealed to us one day in eternity. Knowing the great I am, we discover him by, number one, his justice revealed on the earth through his righteousness. Now, God doesn't need a Supreme Court. He's already made the decisions. His ways are perfect and his ways are just. Number two, the great I am is revealed by his holiness to show mercy and grace to persons who turn to him in everyday life. See, I can constantly get on my daughter's case about not turning the lights off, or I can show mercy and grace in a way that models Christ to her. Next up, we grow in knowing the great I am by his presence, including you and I in his mission. Donuts, they bring instant gratification, but the apple has lasting nutritional value. In the same way, don't store up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Store them in heaven. And finally, we discover God's mission through his healing, to offer salvation to all nations. Let me be very clear this morning. God has called us to be many healing communities, making Jesus the center of everyday life. The greatest form of healing that God can bring into this place is salvations. That's the number one. His desire was to reconcile us back into him. Matthew 24:14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come." Nations is a biblical term that means people groups. Christ's plan is to draw all nations unto himself. So then, whenever we read the term nations in the Bible, we should think of people groups, or generally speaking, ethnic groups. The end of time will come when every people group has a living testimony of Christ living among them. And then the end shall come, and we are all called to participate in that. Who is God calling you to lead to Christ? That is part of his mission. The twin themes that are found in the book of Isaiah are found both through judgment and the hope in eternal life. Here's a summary of Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah 19. Let's look at the last few verses in there, 18 through 25. We see here the Lord is the main subject. 11 times the Lord's name is mentioned in just 8 verses. But Isaiah, if you don't understand the context, he's actually saying something that's very different. Because in verse 25, he says this, "The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, 'Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance.'" He called Egypt, my people, and Assyria, my handiwork. So verse 23 speaks symbolically of a highway that would connect all these nations together. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. So essentially, Isaiah was speaking of a unity where all people would come to know him, and we're all called to be part of this mission. This radical idea would be for us, it'd be kind of like we have radical terrorists coming and being part of this service. And God's saying, I want to bring all people, draw all people into knowing him. God's saving grace is found through knowing the great I am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So my last action step for you this morning is simply this. Who is the great I am calling you to lead towards Christ? See, a lot of times we think if only so-and-so could meet Pastor Sean. Oh, let me just get them to church and then maybe, you know, Pastor Jason can talk to them. Did you know that most people come to Christ through a friend who cared enough to love them into the body of Christ? It's not because they randomly showed up at church. Just as God leads you into to him through relationship, God is calling us to lead others to Christ through one-on-one relationship. We are called to partner together in unity on this mission. That is how the harvest will be reached. So you may be here this morning and not have a daily walk in following Christ. Maybe you came to church this morning because you're just really struggling in everyday life. Maybe you just moved here this morning. Maybe you're here because your kids came to kids club and you're just kind of trying to figure out what this cornerstone place is all about. I can assure you that those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. If you've never made a decision to follow Christ this morning and follow the great I am, you can do that. Maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord for a long time, or you've made some choices where you've drifted away. God wants you to turn your life back towards him this morning. Do you know Christ out of a desire to know him, a hunger to know him, or out of ritual? And number 4, who's the great I am calling you to lead towards Christ? Your life is the bridge that leads others to know Christ's healing power. Jesus is coming back one day very soon. Time is short. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward now. Are you ready to fully embrace and know the great I am, to know his presence in your life each day? We have a choice to make. We each do every day. Let's be filled with the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit to share Christ with others, to follow him in repentance, to choose his mercy and grace, even when we don't feel like it. Let's pray. Father, there's a very clear word that you've given in the scriptures. In Romans 10:9, you say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Father, none of us here are perfect. But Lord, you've called together a healing community, many healing communities in this place, to know the power and the presence of the great I am. So this morning, we just submit ourselves to you and ask you to have your way in this place, that we could come before you now and worship you and know your power and your presence in our lives. For those who don't know you this morning, this is their day of salvation. Now is the day. Come now. Father, you are beckoning their hearts. Father, I just thank you for working here. We submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.